Hello and welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychologies Magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychologies. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to a UKCP therapist about a range of topics. And in this episode, we will be talking about divorce and how this life-changing event can impact someone.
You know, this is a brawl. And so the changes people go through are massive. And that's why you need a therapist to guide you through that change. It's a valley of death experience.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Martin Polakoff. As elected chair of the UK Council for Psychotherapy, Martin works together with the chief executive to set the strategy of the organisation. Martin's own experience with divorce has provided useful insight into the matter. Shortly, Martin will be talking to Sarah Niblock, CEO of the UK Council for Psychotherapy, to find out how we go from surviving to thriving after divorce. But first, here are some comments about divorce from the people we spoke to on the street.
I think divorce is probably more common nowadays than it was in our parents' grandparents' generation. I think there's a load of reasons why that could be the case. But yeah, I think it is pretty common. I think because it's easy to get a divorce, it's also easy to get married.
I mean, if you're looking at like celebs, I mean, everyone's getting divorced, so very common, but then obviously amongst us normal people, I have no idea.
Having been divorced, I think it impacted me greatly and still does. I think it's very sad in the UK that we don't have a no-blame divorce. One party has to sue the other party for divorce, and they have to name reasons why they have to do it. And that means that you can't have an amicable divorce. They can't just grow apart as a couple. And that's really sad for one party to have to take the blame. That's what happened in my case.
Divorce has always been quite stigmatized, I think, in society. Say you're in a group of friends and everyone is married and you're the one to get a divorce. I think that can really impact on your mental health and how you view yourself and the qualities that you think you have and give to relationships.
What's hard about divorce is that people just don't see, you know, they don't see the grieving that happens. You know, a lot of divorces can do almost like, you know, celebratory, you're free, but actually you mourn the loss of a relationship and a loss of a future that you'll never have. And actually I think there's a lot of unspoken grieving around losing that.
I think that people who are getting divorced, have been divorced, I think they could definitely benefit from, you know, yeah, groups of friends, family, just making sure that they're not alone or they're getting all the help they can need. Obviously, if it leads to it, getting counselling, things like that. I mean, some people, divorce probably doesn't really affect them at all. Some people, they're great, they think, great, I can move on with my life, and other people might need more help than others. So definitely having someone to listen to them and someone who kind of understands and doesn't judge, or have their own kind of opinions about it, would definitely help those going through divorce.
The Office for National Statistics estimate that there were 101,669 opposite-sex couples who ended their marriage in 2017. In the same year, 338 same-sex couples divorced, an increase of over 200% from 2016. With a legal termination of a marriage, referred to as an irretrievable breakdown, when both parts recognise some version of a no-fault divorce, the blame game can eventually follow. But how can divorce be turned into a positive, life-changing event?
Martin, is divorce on the rise in the UK?
It's on the fall. We have the last figures we've got, 2017. And there's 101,669 divorces of opposite sex couples in the UK. Some 42% of couples end up in divorce within 10 years. So it's still popular, but only in 1995 there were 165,000 people getting divorced. So it is coming down. And I think that's mainly to do with the fact that property prices are so high, you can't move out and rent somewhere.
Gosh, it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle issue. When you've got a lot of equity in your house, it's easier to split it up. But when two wages are struggling to pay the mortgage, then how are two people going to live in two different places cheaper than one? You know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, very interesting. But of course, when divorce does happen, it can often turn into a blame game.
Well, in this country, it is a blame game. Mm-hmm. There is legislation waiting to be passed to make a no-fault divorce possible. But that's in the future. We've got no idea what that's going to be like. Mm. But right now, you have to prove adultery or unreasonable behaviour. And there's another one where someone's deserted the family, but seldom used, because you've got to prove the person not only just gone, but they don't want to come back. They've deserted, right? Mm. So it's either adultery or unreasonable behaviour.
And does that sort of legislative situation, does that harm the process of ending the relationship even more?
Yes, this is where the conflict is in divorces.
Yeah.
If you've been separated for 2 years and both of you want the divorce, yes, you get divorced. If one person doesn't want it, it'll take 5 years. Mm. So most people go for the unreasonable behaviour.
You mentioned conflict. Tell me about how you came to be involved in high conflict divorces.
Well, the high conflict ones are ones where somebody wants to destroy the other person in court. They want to just ruin their lives, and they have enough money, or they live in a magic world in which the court time doesn't matter.
Gosh.
An average divorce is theoretically around £13,000, but it's not.
This is quite common then, by the sound of it?
Yes, it's common, and the gaslighting is common.
Right.
To try and drive the other person. The solicitors are your gladiators, and they fight full on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is exaggerated, and it is painful and shame-making.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gosh, that's actually absolutely horrifying.
It is horrifying bullying.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah. So, gosh, if somebody's going through this, what kind of support networks should people try to have around themselves?
The biggest and best they can find. First of all, get your friends around you. Now, what happens, especially in a narcissistic marriage, is the friends are sent away. The longer you're married, the more you're kept away from your friends and kept away from mm-hmm. others. Phone up the ones you used to have, get them round. And by friends, you'll always have somebody who loves discomfort in others. Don't bring that person out. Okay, they're like ghouls around divorce. They come around, oh, tell us everything. Mm. But they're ghouls. Mm. The best way to have a divorce is not to have one at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've given you the figures for divorce in the UK, but there's another 25% of people who start a divorce and never go through with it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they go down that route and they say, do we really want this? Get a book by Esther Perel, any book by Esther Perel, read
right.
it and reconsider. Go to therapy on that adultery, because it's always about something else in the marriage. You know?
Yeah.
So really, I've been divorced. Mm-hmm. So I've got some, you know, I'm not saying this from a sort of outside expert thing. I've had that. And the shame and the upset and the sleepless nights over this are really big. And if I knew now what I knew then, I wouldn't have had to go through it.
Right.
Because relationship is so difficult to do.
Mm.
And you're not supposed to have giant rows or whatever. And when there's children and money involved, it's just really, really expensive.
Mm. If somebody is going through it, though, and they're struggling, I mean, who wouldn't?
Well, you're going to be struggling.
Not?
Yes.
Somebody's going to be struggling. And, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, I recognise myself, I'm stuck in this now, I'm on this journey, and they may be resorting to, you know, they may be really struggling and maybe resorting to some unhealthy behaviours.
Of course. You know,
advice would you give to somebody if they're hearing this and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what am I supposed to do?
There's a couple of stages. One is the stage of denial. We don't want to do this. It's not going to happen. We can come back from this. Then there's commitment. Now, once you're committed, you really need to get your act together, because if you leave it to the other person to own the narrative in the court, you're going to be in big trouble. You're not going to get what you want. So first of all, decide this is serious, and then go and find a therapist or mm-hmm. a counsellor who can hold you through that 2 years, which is probably the minimum it's going to take to finish this off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major form of change.
Yeah.
Now, people act differently. They act out at the beginning of the divorce. They may start having sex with other people or drinking a lot, you know, there's a bottle a night plus going down.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really not the way to go, because in the divorce, you may be asked for a drug test,
mm-hmm.
right? It becomes part of the awful conflict narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a brawl. And so the changes people go through are massive. And that's why you need a therapist to guide you through that change. It's a valley of death experience. And while that's going on, you've got to look after the kids, hold down a job that you need more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is very difficult. So don't underestimate this.
It sounds like a really terrifying and potentially traumatic prospect. And yet, you know, there is so much pressure on us now to have perfect relationships. And if a relationship isn't going as it should, we've sort of been encouraged to want for something better and to look outside the relationship. And there's nothing wrong with ending a relationship. And I suppose in thinking about that, I'm thinking about, well, what about Gwyneth Paltrow and the conscious uncoupling movement?
She got a lot of stick for this conscious uncoupling thing. And because women were saying, look, I went through a divorce, it's awful, and you just float through, you know, conscious uncoupling. But in an article that she did a couple of years later, she wrote about it and said, no, it wasn't like that. I had a terrible time for you know, a really awful time. I couldn't sleep, eat, etc., work. And then we managed to talk. For conscious uncoupling, you need both people to work together. And it's not a new thing. She didn't invent it. There's a woman called Catherine Woodward Thomas introduced it in about 2006. And 2011, she used that term, and she was blamed, like, so, you know, everyone jumped on her for that. So if the two of you just want to work it out, great. And there's a whole process. There's a books, there's a whole process you can look at. 5 steps. It's neat. But you need two people who are mature enough to say, okay, we're quitting, let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some marriages in which people can just walk away,
mm-hmm.
even after 40 years, you know. So there are some good divorces, but the high conflict ones are just there to punish the other side
mm-hmm.
and to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say you're a woman and you've got a good income and your husband's no longer working. He can spend his time writing continuously to your solicitors, knocking up your bills.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, beyond this terrible valley of death experience that we go through is an absolutely classic initiation ceremony. It moves you forward psychologically and spiritually. It moves you from one position to a much more open position. It dips you into the pure waters of humanity and what it's like to be a human. And all the social stuff disappears. You're just left with your own upsets and feelings of inadequacy, etc.
And this is why psychotherapy and counselling is vital on
Because we're trying to get somebody out the other end
mm.
renewed. They will not be the same person they were when they started.
Mm. How does that work then?
How does it work? Because we're pointing out the changes.
Mm.
It's got somebody saying to you, look, you're going through this and you're doing that, and you're teaching what you're going through. People come out of this stronger. Yeah. And, you know, we admire people who walk through the flames. All our heroes are people who've had hard lives, hard times, etc. And we think that's great. But when it comes on our doorstep, you know, every film you see is the same. Every film's the same. Somebody starts off, they're having an ordinary life, then something happens and they don't know what to do. They have no knowledge of what to do about it.
Mm.
In the film, they try things, they fail at first, they get companions to help them, and they go through this whole process until they win at the end. And the biggest hero is the one who learns the most. The whole point in those films is you've got to learn quickly. Mm. And it's not... This is not like you watching a film. You are the film in this. You are the movie. But there's nothing new about this. Dante talks about this. The first stanza of the Divine Comedy is, midway through the journey of our life, it's about the human life, not his, I woke to find myself in a dark wood, for I had wandered off from the straight path. How hard it is to tell what it was like, the wood of wildness, savage and stubborn. The thought of it brings back all my own fears. A bitter place, death could scarce be bitterer. But if I was to show the good that came out of it, I must first talk about things other than the good. Now, he says that because out of all this terror, he managed to create something good in himself and others. Right? There is no change in consciousness without pain. And if you've got someone to guide you through, that's just fantastic.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Martin Polakoff speaking to Sarah Niblock, CEO of the UKCP. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is www.psychotherapy.org.uk and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We'll also be discussing the subject of divorce in Psychology's magazine this month, or you can find us online at www.psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP psychotherapists. And remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it here first and to help others to find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you so much for listening and take good care of yourselves.